The title of what we're going to look at is based upon Acts chapter 13, verse 9, where the apostle Paul is referred to as Saul. And I want you to think about this. We're looking at this character from Saul to Paul. And so I want to do two things. First, I want to academically look at this as the way the book of Luke utilizes the names Saul and Paul. There really is no difference in the two names. One, Saul, is the Hebrew, and Paul is the Greek, and they are equivalent. But there is an academic understanding that I believe we can gain if we'll look at the book of Acts more closely. That is, the way the author of this book, Luke, by inspiration, does make a transition with the character that we're looking at. Before this verse in Acts 13, verse 9, Saul is the primary usage. It is Saul. We're introduced to this man in Acts chapter 7 when he is consenting unto the death of Stephen, an early disciple in the first century church, who they're laying their coats, it is, at the feet of Saul as they are stoning to death Stephen. It's in Acts chapter 8 that we see this Saul, devout Jew, taught and schooled by Gamaliel, very familiar with the high priest. They knew who he was. And I'll show you that in just a moment. I'll prove that to you. And he requests authority from the high priest, letters, to go and persecute Christians. This man is not a Christian at this time. He is a devout Jew who even writes of his own conscience, or at least Luke writes of his own conscience, when Paul at the time in Acts 23 says that he did everything in a good and with a good conscience. Acts 23 verse 1. But I want you to notice something here. In Acts chapter 9, the conversion account of this man, Saul, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 4 from heaven speaks and speaks loudly and utilizes the Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 9 verse 4. We know on the road to Damascus here, it brings Paul literally to his knees. He's blinded and he will be told to go, and one named Ananias will teach him the way more perfectly, the truth, and the apostle Paul will obey the gospel. If you'll look at Acts chapter 9, remember Ananias in verse 17 was told to entertain brother Saul. He refers to him in the Hebrew in verse 17 as brother Saul, because Ananias was a Jew by culture, by birth. He was a Jew, but he was a Christian. But notice where in verse 15 and 16, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Ananias says, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. The Gentiles were primarily under the influence of the language of the Romans, which spoke what language? The Greek language. And so it's interesting that there will be a change with his name, from Saul to Paul. Now, I want you to see how even Paul himself, look at Acts 22. Acts 22, when here he is confronted, he has gone to Jerusalem, they have purified themselves in the manner, we believe he did this to become all things to all men, that he might by some means save those who were lost as Jews. But look at Acts 22, verse 1 and following, where he, being confronted by the Sanhedrin, by the high priest, men, individuals that he was very close to. And it says here, Luke recording this, says, men and brethren and fathers, Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew or Aramaic tongue, their own language, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also, and it's like, as if he's pointing over there to the high priest, and he says, as also the high priest doth bear me witness. He knows me. And all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Now, just notice Paul's connection, Saul of Tarsus, the Hebrew here, and his connection with the Jews. But this is a converted man here. But also interesting to me, two times in the book of Acts, Saul, the apostle Paul, relays his conversion account and what happened on that road to Damascus. And here's the first example here in verse 7 where he's telling them what happened. And in the Hebrew language, he himself says, as the Lord Jesus Christ evidently spoke from heaven in the Hebrew tongue and said, Saul, Saul. He didn't call him Paul, Paul. He called him Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? Over in Acts 26. Once again, before Agrippa, King Agrippa. The inspired writer Luke records, saying in the Hebrew tongue, verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to this Jew, Saul of Tarsus, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now that's your academic kind of study. But here's where I think it's principally based and becomes practical. Why was in Acts 13 the reference there made clearly by Luke, the inspired writer, in verse 9, Acts 13, verse 9, then Saul, who also, and that's in the Greek, that's in the Textus Receptus, that's in the original language, who also is called Paul, the Greek or the Roman equivalent, why did physician Luke make the transition here? Because from this point forward in Acts 13, verse 9, when writing about the apostle, he calls him Paul every time. Unless, as we just noted, Saul refers to the Hebrew account of his conversion. I went back and looked at every epistle that this man is the author of, and he himself begins, Paul, 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 an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, it seems that Tertullius wrote the book of Romans as like a Xerox copy machine back then for the apostle, but even in that epistle, he addresses himself as Paul. Here's what I think is going on. Look at Acts 13, verse 46, because what we know is as the Lord Jesus Christ told Ananias that this is a chosen vessel, he will be a preacher unto the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't speak the Hebrew language. They spoke the language of the world, which was the Roman Greek language. In Acts 13, verse 46, the Bible says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, the Jews, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now let me make application. Look at Philippians chapter 3. From Saul to Paul, a devout Jew, to a devout Christian, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this apostle in his own words speak about the importance of earthly things versus spiritual things. I find it very interesting. And I hope that you do too. Philippians 3 verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit, spiritual Jews. That's Romans 3, if you go back and study the book of Romans. And have no confidence in the flesh. But watch what he says. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I don't care if you call me Saul, call me Paul. The one thing you will know is that I am a Christian. From Saul to Paul, this is a man that became a Christian. And that's his spiritual name. And that's what he's saying to you and me. I like the way he ends verse 8. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I wish I had time to just analyze more with you here, but I don't. It's a devotional period of time. But from the academic to the practical, you can perhaps see how this man, Saul of Tarsus, a proud Jew, connected to the highest courts of authority within that system, but yet then brought to his knees on the road to Damascus. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking in the Hebrew tongue to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Luke tells us that his name also is Paul in the Greek. And here's what I think is profoundly powerful. In 1 Corinthians 9, the apostle Paul writes and says, I become all things to all men that I might by some means save some, them, Jew or Gentile. I hope that we realize how blessed we are in this life. I know that Paul realized how blessed he was in his life as a physical man. We just read that, where he recounts his upbringing, who he was, and he was proud of that. He was bold to speak forthrightly and confidently. And I hope that we can look to our lives and say, we are richly blessed. But I hope that we're humble enough like this man, Saul, and we'll humble ourselves, realizing that it doesn't matter what your name is or where you come from in this world. If you're not a Christian, you're lost. And isn't that what the Apostle Paul would teach the rest of his life? A spokesman to the Gentiles. I've suffered the loss of all things. I've given up all things for Christ, that I may know him, the fellowship and the sufferings of Christ, and to be a partaker of the resurrection of the dead. That's what I'm living for. And that's what he says, and that's what he did. And what a powerful study, powerful character, from Saul to Paul. You ought to spend more time analyzing that man and consider really who he was and what he did. If you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, then we want you to be. The Apostle Paul would write that. He would write about himself being crucified with Christ. And he would talk about how the fact is that he lives through Christ now in the flesh. We want you to know that there is life after this life is over. But if you're not a Christian, you're lost. You'll be eternally lost. But if you're willing to repent of your sins and realize that victory over death is in Christ, no other person, no other place, but you must make up your mind to repent of your sins and change your lifestyle and confess Him before men as the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Make that confession. Make your mind up to obey the gospel, be immersed in water, buried with Him in baptism, to arise to walk in the newness of life. That's what Saul did. Ananias said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise now. Get up off your feet. Obey the gospel. Be baptized. And come out of that water a new creature in Christ Jesus." And Paul would write about that in Romans 6 and 2 Corinthians 5. And if you'll obey that same thing that he obeyed, you can do the principal things of preaching the gospel, teaching others, and showing them a better way, the perfect way. I hope that you'll consider this the invitation of the Lord, and if we can help you in any way, won't you let us know? Then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?